Testing, testing, 1, 2, 3. Okay, it's working fine.
Okay,
cool.
Okay.
Then listen, the party, wasn't it?
Oh, yes.
Yes, right. can you hold this? Would you like to hold this?
Yeah,
it's
right.
Easier, and you'll hold it close to a little bit closer,
yeah.
Oh, that's excellent. Okay, so tell me how you're doing today.
Oh, well, you know, after the fire, I stay sleepy all the time.
Oh, do you?
Yeah.
I see. So I guess that was a pretty big blow to you.
It was. It wiped the whole apartment out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe I should hold it because it needs to be held steadily in one spot, and you'll get a little animated. Maybe you want me to hold it?
No, it's all right.
Okay, fine. So maybe just a little bit down like this. Okay, that'll be comfortable. So, yes, that would have been a terrible blow to you, that fire. But you were lucky. You got.
I got out.
You got out. So we still have you, right?
Yes.
What's your secret? You just keep going.
Well, I pray to God above. I always keep him in front of me. Heaven say, you lead the way, and I will follow.
I see. Well, that started out. I just need you to hold it a little closer to you because your voice is soft.
Okay.
Yeah, that's good. All right. That philosophy you learned from your grandmother, right?
Yes, ma'am.
And that's the one that's carried you through.
Yes. She was a great lady. My grandmother, I used to go to church with her. She taught me how to pray in the Bible. She taught me about drumming. Every Christmas, she would say, give him 2 drums, because we give him a chance to break up the first one, so he had one in reserve. So that's where I did. Every Christmas, I would get 2 drums.
You know, I read your autobiography, and I enjoyed the stories that you told about your early childhood experience with the woman drummer in the church.
You did.
That you said when she would roll her eyes back, you figured she was on her way to God. Her soul was on her way to God, right?
Yeah. Very, very special. Yes. My grandmother used to pray. My grandmother used to pray all times. All day and all night.
And you were her pride and joy.
Yes. And she was my pride and joy, too. Yes.
Yes. Well, you were very lucky, I think, in many ways, right?
Yes, that's right.
I just enjoyed those stories of your early childhood. They were so lovely, the train and your relatives who worked on the train and the nun.
Oh, yeah, the nun, yeah. Sister Petra is the one who taught me how to play drums. Told me how to read drums, you know. You have a skill that you learn in drumming that you like to do in another instrument. Oh, pardon me. I ain't got the sleep out of me.
Maybe if I could, I think it's easier if I, because this way we want to keep it in a place. Yes, well, this is it. You were very early on were introduced to the real technique of drumming.
Yeah. Sister Petra, this Dominican sister, she was a master of teaching me the rudiments of drums. They call it rudiments of drumming. It's like scales on piano, scales on saxophone. We got something called rudiments. You know, where you six a certain way to get different sounds out of them. Oh, drummer. Excuse me, boy, I can't.
Don't worry about it.
Oh.
It's a fatigue, right? Some kind of a chronic fatigue, is it?
Huh?
A kind of chronic fatigue, is it? A chronic fatigue? Sleepiness.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, you also then, of course, you were introduced with a man, Captain Sergeant, his name is slipping my mind. There was a man in your high school years who was very...
Dr. B.J. Clark Smith. Yeah, he was a band leader.
So what are your favorite stories about your career? You've had an amazing career. It's just truly amazing, isn't it?
Yeah. When I first played my first Bible Hall with Louis Armstrong, you know, and next time is when I joined the Benny Goodman Quartet. I was only, that was the first integration of musicians. Where black and white played together. Before then, it wasn't anything like integration in the music field. But the first integrated group was the Benny Goodman Quartet, where Benny Goodman and Gene Cooper, who was white, and Teddy Wilson and I was black. And the world accepted that. And that was a great outfit. It really did play.
Well, and of course, you were a pioneer in so many ways. That was a pioneering thing, but also you were a pioneer on the vibraphone. You were the one that really made that instrument.
I was the first one to play.
What was it about? Is somebody answering the phone?
No, let me see. Mm-hmm. Is the phone there? Is the phone there?
Is it here?
Hey, Ruben. Ring them bells.
Let's see. Oh, okay. Well, one of the things, what was it, do you think, about the vibraphone that you really took to?
Well, I had a chance to play melody. Because I was playing rhythm with the drums, and I had a chance to play melody and give a vent, and give a vent to my soul, you know, and play pretty things on and music by playing the vibes.
Was a very delicate instrument.
Yes, it is. It's a beautiful instrument too.
So what's the difference between the, can you describe that, the vibraphone? What is it, what are its qualities that are, so you said in your,
The vibraphone is made out of metal. And it's a copy from the xylophone. The old xylophone is made out of wood. But the vibraphone was made out of metal, and has an electric motor, and has a pedal that you can push down and get different vibrations from the vibraphone.
You said in your book that it's one of the most misunderstood instruments. What do you think people don't understand about the vibraphone?
This is what I got to explain to you. It's made out of metal, and it's got a motor, and you can get different sounds out of it, but people don't understand that. But it's there, and all you got to do is know how to play it. Pushing the pedal down, you get vibration sounds, and that's it.
So you were the whole thing in terms of swing to bebop to rock and roll. You were able to kind of bridge the gap between all these things. How do you think you did that?
What do you mean?
Well, you were able to sustain. You started out in the swing era, right?
Huh?
You started out in the swing era.
I came out in the swing what?
Swing era.
Yeah.
Then came the bebop.
Yeah.
But then came rock and roll.
Yeah.
But you were able to move through all of them.
Oh, yes.
So how did you manage to do that?
Because I had knowledge of foreseeing the goodness of all those styles. I took the goodness out of all those styles and put them on my instrument and played them.
So you were looking for the, so music was a way of communicating.
Yeah.
But you were able to, you had an instinct for what people wanted to hear.
Mm-hmm.
Your theme song, Flying Home.
Yeah.
Can you talk about that song?
Well, I just received a notice of the day. I think I have the. Hey, Ruben.
Yes, Captain.
Where's that Flying Home medal? Where's the Flying Home certificate?
A medal or certificate?
Flying Home was played over a million times on the radio. And BMI gave me a citation about 3 days ago, accentuating that.
Mm-hmm. So this is just something you received in the last few days?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Well, that particular song, it had a lot of significance in many ways, right?
Yeah. It has some ingredients for the different styles. When we had swing, when we had when we had different styles, that song went right along with it, and we were able to ride right along with it, and people liked it, and it's just remarkable.
I'll just hold. I think it's easier. So, you played it first with Benny Goodman, right?
I was with Benny Goodman, yes.
Right, and then again, I think there was a sax solo there with Illinois Jacquette.
Yes.
And that kind of signaled in the rock and roll age somewhat.
Yeah. The song Flying Home fitted in and all styles of interchange of music, and rock and roll and swing and cool jazz and all the different types of jazz that came front to the front. Flying Home always served the purpose of fitting in with. That's the reason why it was played so much on the air over a million times. There's the proof that the BMI, they keep a record of all those things. I was talking to the president of BMI, and she's a lady, and she said Flying Home was very unusual. Because you can get a million plays on the radio on rock and roll tune, but it's only used to get a million plays on a jazz tune. So it's uncalled for.
So it was very unusual. Well, now today, you're very lucky to have the University of Idaho has established a music school in your name, and the festival. Right?
Yeah.
This is something that's a. How did that happen?
Well, I went out to. A player one night up to do a concert out at the University of Idaho, and they liked the way I was playing directing my band, playing with music, and they thought it would be good if I could put a curriculum and put a
curriculum, you
were the curriculum in their school of music, and started featuring jazz, which has built up so big that the kids are coming all from Russia, Germany, Spain, Japanese, Japan. They're coming all over the world to learn the style that we have in the university that we teach in the Lionel Hampton School of Music.
So when young people talk to you, what is the message that you like to communicate to them?
Know your instrument. And practice on instrument and get you a style that you want to converse with and practice and get it down perfect so that you can be identified by the style that you want to adopt.
What kind of advice do you give them beyond music?
Oh boy,
I think you're good. I think you're very interested in young people, right?
Huh?
You're very interested in education of young people. You've said you'd like to establish a university.
Yeah. Well, they have to study and get the fundamental of music down as perfect as they can. And cultivate them a style that they can go by. and that they be identified in the profession as the Lionel Hampton style or the John Johnson style, you know.
Well, they have to want to develop their own voice.
Yeah.
So I guess you were happy the other night at your birthday party. You had so many people come out. But that's not unusual for you, right? You always have a lot of people.
Yeah, well, thank you.
The portrait, did you see that?
Huh?
Yeah,
it was great.
Yes, it's a big one.
Yeah.
Yes, it'll go into the Smithsonian. So what is on the plate for you in the future?
Do some playing like I'm fixing to do now, and play one nighters, play in the universities and dance halls and theaters, give concerts, and play for dancing. That's what I intend to do.
Do people dance to your music a lot still?
Oh, yeah. Go. We play good swing music. We play good time.
Is that what makes you happiest, when you see people dancing?
When they listen.
Well, that was your main thing. You could really get the audience to respond, right?
Yeah, get the audience to respond.
You were like a rock and roll star.
No, it all came from swing. The rock and roll stars that you may call, they copied everything from swing. From swing jazz. We did all that stuff that they talk about now. I remember I had a group called the Hamptones, Full Boys, and they sang and they danced and they showed their emotions, and the people liked it. And then the rock and roll guys came in and they started copying it from that.
What did they copy?
They copied the action and the songs and the singing that this group had been doing, the Hamptones.
What year were the Hamptones?
Oh, boy.
Okay, I can look it up. You probably talked about it in your book. You mentioned so many different groups, and you worked with everybody.
Yeah.
So you brought along a lot of people.
Yeah.
What's your most, you're also a great humanitarian.
Yeah.
Do you think you would have done that without your wife, Gladys?
No. She was a spokesman and the advocate for advocate what's going on now.
What do you mean?
She was just what tunes they were playing. It was good. She was always listening to the band and tell me what style that I had that the people like, cause she always mingled with the people when we play, and she gave good advice.
She was an amazing woman.
Yes, she was.
I like your grandmother.
Yeah.
I know you've had so many proud moments, but what is one of the proudest?
Well, I said, when I first played with Louis Armstrong, and next time when I played with the Benny Goodman Quartet.
Those must have been some exciting days.
They was.
You're very honest in your book about the Chicago, the times in Chicago.
Yeah. But about my uncle being a bootlegger. Yeah, my uncle was a bootlegger.
Yeah, you're very prominent. He worked with Al Capone.
He really did. He made a lot of money, too.
And it helped you?
Huh?
Helped you, right?
Yeah.
But you all made a lot of money.
Huh?
You all made a lot of money.
Yeah, that's right.
But your wife saw to it that you didn't spend too much of it, right?
Yes.
How did you feel about that?
We always believe that she did the best for us. She did the best. Because she was the best. And her suggestions was the best.
She was the one who actually suggested that you stick with the vibraphone.
Yeah, she said it was.
When she said that, did you first agree with her, or what was your first reaction?
No, I said, I don't be worried. I can't get a whole lot of dead weight. She said, no, it ain't. You're going to watch and see. That's going to give you a height in the music that you can't get on drumming. Drumming is going to be a side issue with you. Be good, be the best you can on that. And I was. I could take four sticks and juggle them in the air and play drums together. And I did some amazing things on drums while I was playing drums. But the vibes is the one that the people like.
Well, like you said earlier, it gave you a chance to express your soul. Because it allowed you to play melody.
Yeah.
Now, what are some of your favorite melodies?
Memory of You, the first song I did with Louis Armstrong, and my song I wrote, Midnight Sun.
What is it about them that you like?
Beautiful melodies.
Can you hum one of them?
You know,
you are quite the singer, too.
Oh, boy. Not much.
I like that story where you talked about imitating Louis Armstrong.
Oh, yeah.
So are you not feeling very well, I think, right?
Huh?
It's hard for you to converse. You're not feeling very well right now.
Oh, no, I'm just sleepy.
But somehow at the party you were, but once you get up, you're up.
Oh, yeah.
And once you hit that music, who was at the party? Because I only could stay a little bit of time. Did Tito come?
No, Tito didn't come.
It was Milt Jackson.
It was Milt Jackson.
Did you get up and play?
Yeah, I played just one tune.
What tune did you select?
High High Moon.
And you picked that for what reason?
Because I like it. It's a good melody. I like melody tunes.
I was reading where that's something a lot of times you really have a real wonderful feeling for melody, and you're soft, slow, you're more balanced, but you often don't do it as much as you do your real hot swing things, right?
Yeah.
Was that because you felt that the audience wanted the more?
I don't know. Okay.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Is there anything that you, what is it, I guess, that you most want people to remember you for, to know about you?
To be a good musician. Yes.
Perfection.
Perfection, yes, sir. Okay.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
All right.
I just have to get room tone here.
Hey, Reuben.